Listen now to the word as we read from the first nine verses of the 18th chapter of Matthew. Listen to the word of God. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." This is the word of God. Let the Lord's name be praised. And now for the spoken word. Let's open our hearts and minds to receive what God is saying to us. Let us pray. O gracious Spirit, we've heard thy word, and now we pray that thou wilt speak to us. Speak, O God, let us listen. Let us hear and respond to no voice but thine. This is our prayer. In the Spirit of Christ we pray. Amen. The last time I was in this church, I think it was a presbytery meeting, that was years ago, and real good to be back worshiping with you this morning. As we come, we'll be talking about this matter of past, present, future. Let us listen to God's word and trust that God will speak to us. Let us pray, O Lord God. Forever and forever we rely on thee for all thy blessings, and thou hast enabled us to come here now to hear to hear thy word. Speak and let us listen, we pray. In the Spirit of Christ we pray. Amen. Having gathered together on this glorious day, a day when we could just feel the presence with the shepherds who were enthralled by the melodious voices of heavenly hosts singing, "Glory to God in the highest," and it wasn't long ago. They were giving glory for the wondrous things that happened. Yes, truly, in Bethlehem was born the Christ child. It was to resound through ages yet to be. Within the very near future, by God's providence, we'll be experiencing a new year. What will it bring? We do not know. What will we bring to the new year? We are not able to predict. However, it should be our hope and our dream to bring the best within us that God will enable us so that we might be better people to help make this a better world. I do feel each of us can cite some things said and done that could have been said and done better or differently. If more of God's people would bring such desire into the new year, this would be a better world for all of us. There are those who hold to the idea that we as human beings existed before, some time ago, in another form. There are two such ideas put forth. One is a matter of our just having been in the world before, and now we are back as we are. Another slightly different idea is we were once some other type of lower class animal. For those who put forth such ideas, we have come today to listen and to meditate. These people are saying that it's possible that the next time around that we might become better human beings and higher human beings than we are now. They feel that we are the highest of God's creation. And if we are good people, listen to the word of God, we will be coming back even higher than we are. From these thoughts and ideas come such words as reincarnation and evolution. I cannot truly say that I fully agree with either idea put forth. However, I truly believe in history. I believe in the present, and I look forward to the future to which I believe. I strongly believe that God has no beginning and no ending. I do believe that God made each of us in God's image. Therefore, sons and daughters of God are parts of history, parts of the present, and even parts of the future. Moreover, if a person is restricted to history or to the present, this would be putting certain limitations on God. It would limit God's purpose to remain in history, to remain now, without the future. But since God has no ending, no beginning, God is the God of history. God is the God of the present and the future. Then God has a purpose for all times, which began before creation. It originated in God's mind. God intended for the purpose to be carried out in creatures and in all creation. Thus, there's no limitation on God's purpose. Sons and daughters of God might blur that purpose. They might even slow that purpose down periodically. Yet there's nothing that would stop God's purpose. So God expects us, all of us, to do all things possible to move that purpose forward. And we could do so by following the life and examples of Jesus. Our Lord said, or Luke said what the Lord said, that when the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation, it seeks a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For Jonah became a sign to the men of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will arise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." There's no doubt about it. Jesus believed in history, and this particular passage sort of alludes to his thinking. The story of Jonah in the belly of the whale, a very familiar to the people to whom Jesus was speaking. After Jonah was released from captivity, he went and preached to a nation considered a heathen nation. When Jonah preached to that nation, the people repented. They repented because they heard a message from a messenger of God. Not only did they hear a message, but they heard a messenger, and so they believe. And the story of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba was also familiar to Jesus' hearers. Solomon was blessed by God with much wisdom. Even the queen acknowledges such wisdom. Thus, she came from afar to sit at Solomon's feet, so to speak. She was regarded by Jesus as a person who searched for and heard and believed the word of God. It was in that light Jesus used historical events to people of the present to point them to the future. He was saying to them, learn from history all that you could learn, because indeed there will be a future. There will be a future when and where they would have to give account as to how they were involved in the past and now in the future. There was to be a future when and where God, the righteous judge, would reward them accordingly as to how they involved themselves here and now. Thus, Jesus was saying to them, because they were not involving themselves as they should in the judgment, those whom they declared to be heathens and whom they despised, those will be the one who would rise up and condemn them, like the people of Nineveh and the Queen of Sheba. Long before Jesus walked and talked on earth, God was pleading with sons and daughters of God so they might learn from history and amend their ways. God showed them their past, called the present to their attention, and pointed them to the future. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Hear, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib. But Israel does not know me. My people does not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be smitten that you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. What a dark past that was painted. Yet they could have learned from their past. All they had to do was to hear and believe the word of God. Because they would not listen and learn, they were headed for the same punishment that had been experienced. The prophet Hosea saw the people being the source of their own destruction. Then and there, because of the lack of knowledge, he spoke to them for God, saying, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected me, I have rejected you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Academic knowledge wasn't necessarily the case at that point. But it is possible that these people had a great deal of academic training. Many people are well versed in the sciences, the philosophies, and mechanical arts, but almost illiterate when it comes to knowledge about the eternal Lord God and God's will. The life and teachings of Jesus, the place of the church in the drama of redemption, and the fellowship of God's people. Such is the time when these people allow the academic training to stand before them and their knowledge of God. Thus, many of God's people have much knowledge about many things except the knowledge of God, and thus they bring destruction upon themselves. When will God's people learn? We hear Luke speak again, talking about Jesus our Lord. He also said to the multitudes, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. When you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens, you hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" It's a question for all of God's people for all time. It does not matter how long we have lived or will live. We are involved in the past, present, and the future. We are now reaping some of what others have sown, whether for good or for ill. Furthermore, we can learn from the past. We can learn what to build on. We can learn from mistakes. What not to do. God expects each of us to listen, learn, believe, and do. Do these things for themselves or for ourselves as individuals. Do them for this congregation, for this community, for the Church of Jesus Christ. Do them because someone might be better as you speak to them. And they might do some great things. Someone might stumble and fall because we have refused to speak, because we refuse to listen. A friend of mine told me of a shock or scare eye-opener, or whatever one might call his experience. He said that after carefully observing his son, it was clear that his son was trying to imitate everything he did. Not only what he did, but how he did it. One example was when he came home in the afternoon, he sat in his easy chair, crossed his legs, got the paper, hold it close to his face, and read it. Sometime thereafter, the son would get the paper and go through the motion of reading by crossing his legs and holding the paper close to his little face. And that did something to him. He prayed to God to give him directions so that he might set examples for those who might be looking to him for directions, especially his son. Most of all, we should do these things of listening and learning and doing because the God of history, the present and the future, expects them from each of us. Do so in the spirit of the psalmist who declared that the horn of the righteous shall be exalted. Do so in the spirit of Jesus our Lord who proclaimed, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. Let's do so in faith, expecting that this will not only be a new year, but the best year for which God has blessed us. And to God be the glory. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, Holy God, we're eternally grateful that thou hast enabled us to come to this place at this time, about to leave a year and into a new year. And we give thee all the glory and the honor. But as we go forth, our God, let us be attentive to thy word, to thy will, so we might be better people and show forth thyself to others. This is our prayer. In the spirit of Christ we pray. Amen.